chair in front of you, but when you land at the address there, just hold on to it. When you land at that den of lions, let's talk about courage this morning. You know, stories of courage, I think, inspire us. You know, I have a story of when President Reagan into a and there was blood, so they wrote. To help him, he stood up straight, he buttoned his jacket, and he walked into the hospital. Once he got into the hospital, he collapsed into the arms of a nurse. But by doggies, he was going to walk in as the President of the United States. You know, the courage of Virginia. Jumping out the window was his teacher. These guys, they bring him a man who is paralyzed. And it says that when Jesus sees the faith of these men who carried him, he looks at the paralytic and he says, "Take courage, Tharseto." And he heals the man. Now, a few verses later, Jesus is walking along. There's this big crowd around him. And this woman who apparently has a bleeding problem, she walks up behind him and she touches the edge of his cloak. Jesus turns around and sees the woman and he says, "Tharseo, take courage." See, when in your life does Jesus need to bluntly command you to take courage? Daniel 6 verse 1 says, to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Okay, I'll stop there a minute. This is another one of those controversial moments in the book of Daniel. I mean, who was Darius? I mean, because historical ancient records have no listing of Darius until several years later. And this Darius, according to the end of chapter 5, is 62 years old. You know, the actual king of Persia, according to history at this time, was a man named Cyrus. And you can see that at the end of chapter 6. So, who is Darius? Two things. First, the title Darius was sometimes used to describe a leader, kind of like Pharaoh. You know, there were several pharaohs of Egypt, but we like to think of the pharaoh who gave Moses such a hard time. Second, many scholars believe this leader was a man named Gubaru. And Persians. Times of days and Persians as God, just as He had done before. So they went. Hey, did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? Gives Joshua this pep talk and three times courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. But he also weaves within that pep talk the command to Joshua that they must be careful to obey all of the commands of God. He says, don't turn to the right or the left, but meditate on my words day and night and do everything written in it. Then you will be successful. I mean, let's say you have a situation at work where you have been accused of doing something wrong. Now, if you're guilty, you're probably not going to have a whole lot of courage in defending yourself. Unless you're sick and twisted and have an improper view of your corrupt, sinful nature. But what if you're completely innocent? It's still going to be tough. I mean, you may still have some sleepless nights. You may even still lose your job. But in the end, you'll know. I mean, listen, the reason Jesus could have confidence and courage in facing the cross was because he was innocent. The Apostle Peter, he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, he said, But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, a second lesson we learned from Daniel is that our courage must have commitment. I mean, you can see that when Daniel finds out about the decree of Darius, he doesn't change anything. I mean, three times a day, he goes up to his studio apartment. He opens the big window that faces toward Jerusalem, which was over 700 miles away. And he gets down and on his knees, and he prays to Yahweh. And then it says, just as he has done before. I mean, it's not like Daniel's going, well, I'll show them. I'll start praying in defiance of this new law. I mean, his courage stems from a commitment that he made a long time ago. You know, actually, one commentary states, Daniel could not compromise. For him, the issue was whether he was going to please man or obey God. Daniel had to choose between loyalty to his Lord and obedience to a sinful government commanding him to perform idolatry. So he was willing to risk his life for the Lord, trusting him for deliverance, even as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been delivered years before. See, you see, Daniel could never be accused of being all talk and no do. You see, he had the commitment that backed up his courage. And let me open myself up a little bit here. You know, the times that I get most frustrated with myself is when I pretend to have a lot of courage. But when it comes down to it, you know, I really act like I have the backbone of a jellyfish. You know, for instance, when we get into a conflict with someone, and we'd rather talk to everyone else about it than actually having the courage to really sit down with the person in love and restore the relationship. You know, and restoration is always the goal. Or if our marriage gets in trouble, we'd rather throw up our arms and walk away than have the courage to get in there and act like I really am a follower of Christ and fight for my marriage. Or if we're busted for doing or saying something wrong, we'd rather lie than have the courage to admit our fault and confess our sin. But turning this towards the positive. I want to tell you, I think I'm blessed to be the preacher at this church. I mean, and sometimes I wonder if I'm doing something wrong, because I hear of friends of mine that are in the ministry who receive anonymous notes and hateful emails from people who don't have the courage to come forward in love and talk to them. And that just really doesn't happen around here, at least not that much. You know, I did get an anonymous note a few weeks ago, but I threw it away. And when I got home, I told Amy that she needed to disguise her handwriting a little bit. But, you know, at the very end of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul, he's going through a list of final instructions, and then out of the blue, he makes this statement. He says, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Be men of courage. Be strong." And then he says, "Do everything in love." Now that phrase, "be men of courage," it's just one word in the Greek, and this is the only place in the Bible that you can find this word. It's adrenomy. And it is literally defined as to act manly. I think it was Paul's way of telling the church at Corinth, "Hey, grow up." Well, let's get back to the story. See, there's these conspirators. They're going to Darius, and they tell him, "Listen, you made this law, and by Persian law, that law cannot be changed, so Daniel has to be thrown into the lions. So reluctantly, the king, he gives that order. That night, the king, he can't eat, he can't sleep, but I'd like to think that old Daniel was doing just fine. You know, one writer gives a fictitious description that kind of goes like this. He says, as the guards closed the pincher and went their way, Daniel slid gradually to the floor of the den. The big lions that had come bounding from their caverns at the inflow of light all stopped suddenly short, and steed rein up by a powerful hand on the bridle. The initial roar dies away as they formed a solid phalanx and looked towards this man who stood in their den in easy reach. There was some snorting and maybe a little whining, and some of them turned around and went back to their caverns. Others of the great beast yawned and lay down on the floor, but not one made a move to advance towards the visitor. Now thanks be unto Jehovah, breathed the prophet. He has stopped the mouths of this fierce beast, and they will do me no harm. He sat down on the floor of the den and leaned his back against the wall to make himself comfortable for the night. Soon two cub lions moved in his discretion, not steadily or crouching as though to make an attack, but in obviously friendliness. And one lay on each side of Daniel as though to give him warmth and protection in the chilly dungeon. Presently their mother, an old lioness, crept over and lay in front of the prophet. He gently stroked their backs as they each turned their heads and licked his hand. Enclosed by the lioness and her cubs, the head of the patriarch was gradually pillowed on the back of one of the cubs as the four slept soundly in perfect peace and tranquility. Well, you know, early the next morning, Darius, it says, runs out to the lion's den and he calls out to Daniel. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually, has he been able to rescue you from the lions? Now, Daniel, he hollers up and he says, it's all good, Darius. God sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions. And then, of course, they hauled Daniel out of the pit, and he doesn't even have a scratch on him. And then, verse 24 says that the king's command, they take the conspirators and their families and pitch them into the lion's den. And before they hit the floor, the lions overpower them and crush their bones. Now, if you still have your Bible open, look at verse 25. It says, then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospers during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now that leads us to the final point this morning, and that is our courage can be contagious. Our courage can be contagious. You know, and Billy Graham, he said just that. He said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. See, so where do you need courage? Maybe you're the only one in your family who attends church. Maybe you feel like you're the only Christ follower that's in your office. Maybe the situation you're against is getting better, bigger by the minute, and you're not sure if you have the courage to face it. You know, I recently ran across this story about a college-age Christian named Angie. And she writes about an encounter with an international student just before the Christmas one year. She says, I had a divine appointment on the flight from Chicago to Lincoln, sitting next to a 19-year-old Saudi Arabian guy, Ali, who was on his way to begin at the university here in Lincoln. As soon as I heard that he'd never been in the U.S. before and was from the Middle East, I felt Jesus tugging at my heart. After a little chit-chat about his feelings about being so far from home and asking what he knew about American culture in Nebraska, I told him I was a follower of Jesus. I asked about his spiritual background. I told him that he'd probably meet a number of people in Nebraska who are Christians, and said it's probably be helpful to understand a little of where they're coming from. She said, I pulled out the four spiritual laws and read through each point with him. She said, we talked a little bit more, and then I went to read my book. He went back to the booklet, and he read it from cover to cover. I could hardly concentrate. I was so excited. Now, I prayed for him as he was reading it, thankful to have been reminded this morning in the Word that God is the one who works, convicting people of their need for him. And after he finished reading, I asked him what he thought, and he said it was very interesting. And as he landed, I told him I'd pray for him, then was convicted that I should do that right there. Scary, she said, what would this Muslim think? I asked if I could pray for him, and he immediately said yes. And so at the baggage claim, I went over and met his cousin and invited them both to an American culture event, Christmas Eve service at our church. We'll see. This is why I love being a Christian, she says. It's heart-pounding, scary at times, and exhilarating when I see someone that I know Jesus wants to come to him, and I have the choice to step out in faith and stay in security. You know, of all people, General George Patton, he once said, courage is fear that has said its prayers. You know, I think the story of Daniel and throughout his life here in captivity and in the king's service, he never wavered. He never wavered. Up until age 8, in his 80s, he still followed Jesus, had courage to stand against the grain and go against the grain to keep his walk with God correct. He was a man of courage. And I think God is trying to tell us we need to have that same courage. We need to stand firm and say, God, no matter what, I'm following you. You know, kind of like the song we sang in worship today, you know, I will follow, you know, no matter. Take a stand. I really believe as I was reading through Daniel and him through this government that he has in captivity, have different powers and things, I think that's where we are in our country. We have those that have authority over us in government that are not following the ways of God. And we have to have courage, and we have to take a stand. We have to take a stand and live for God no matter what. We don't know. There might come a day that they tell us we can't pray anymore. We don't have the freedoms. We need to take courage. Be like Daniel. Pray with me. Father, we come to you in this world that we live in this country that we live in, how we are free to worship you and to believe in you and trust in you. But Father, we have no idea what might happen. And I pray that this walk, this belief is so true that we have the courage to say we're going to do what God wants us to do. We're going to live for you. So, Father, I pray that maybe by our example, by the way we live, we'll make a difference to the ones around us. And we don't have to make a choice. We don't have to worry about it. But yet, Father, we know that you're with us, and we know that you sent Jesus for us, so it doesn't matter what. We will be courageous. We will be strong and courageous. In your precious name I pray. Amen.